Welcome to Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor, where conversations explore the inner frontier. What is it I can say I know and why? Who am I really? Is there such a thing as free will? How does the human mind differ from the programmed artificial intelligence being built today? How is thinking and destiny connected? Is mind really capable of being our best healer or our worst slayer? Where does the world of shoes and ships and sealing wax leave off and the mind begin? These are just some of the questions Eldon and his guest take on in this next fascinating hour. You won't want to miss any of it. And now, here is your host of Mind Matters, Eldon Taylor.
Welcome to Mind Matters, where we investigate the nature of mind and whether any of it really matters. We will be taking your calls in this hour, but first, in this show, we define mind rather broadly. When one looks into the Greco-Roman history, where most of our culture and our word usage and our philosophy comes from, what we think of as mind, we discover, was originally thought of as soul. In our program, we think of mind as consciousness, and whatever role it may play or have, that's our area of inquiry. Today's show is all about happiness. Happiness is, as has so often been stated, a state of mind. Or is it truly? Think about that. There are some really interesting questions presupposed in that assertion, such as, well, what then is a gut feeling? Dr. Candace Peart has demonstrated that there are nearly as many neurochemicals in our stomach, our gut, as there are in our brain. So does the mind extend to our feelings? Being happy is something all of us say we desire. But my own work suggests that few have really ever captured the true sense, essence of happiness, and then distilled it in such a way as to be able to carry it with them and always have it. My guest today is an exception. Think about for a moment for yourself. What exactly is a happy feeling? Is it when you are laughing at some comedic event or some funny line? Is it the television show America's Funniest Home Videos, shared with a family all sitting around laughing together? Is it the smile from a very young infant looking up at you as you gently but firmly support them? What is it to you? And is there some quintessential image or feeling you can bring to mind that is this state of happiness? In his free newsletter, my guest today recently quoted Marcus Aurelius from this wonderful book, Meditations. Aurelius was a convinced Stoic, and that's a philosophy founded by Zeno, an outcrop of the original Cynic philosophy. Zeno is, of course, famous to most for his paradoxes, like the race between the tortoise and Achilles. To the Stoics, departing from the teachings of the Cynic, the logos, or the rational principle, animated the universe. Through reason, we gain knowledge, which is the basis of virtue and just action, and by which we may aspire to live in harmony with all. As such, the Stoics promoted the idea of a virtuous individual, one content with virtue alone. Is happiness a virtue? Or is it more that when one is content with their life and their choices, that even in hardship, they remain happy? In other words, is the practice of virtue happiness? And if so, what is meant today when we say virtue? You can ask my guest any of these questions or some of the more pragmatic ones, like how do you stay happy in the midst of, well, you name the circumstances, or how do you train yourself to be happy in a world full of chaos, financial worries, and other doom and gloom scenarios that so many foretell for us. This is your hour, so please call us at 1-877-230-3062 and join in. Or you can ask questions by logging into our chat room at Contact Talk Radio. Just go to www.ctr, stands for Contact Talk Radio, ctrchat.com. Now, joining me today for what promises to be a lively, entertaining, and absolutely inspiring hour is my good friend and mentor, Mr. Lionel Ketchian. Lionel Ketchian is president of LRK Communications, and he's the founder of the Happiness Club. He is currently the co-host of a weekly cable television program, The Happiness Show, and the author of the Be Happy Zone column, which appears in the newspaper, the Fairfield Citizen News. Mr. Ketchian is also the author of Food for Thought, a wonderful little book containing inspirational words of wisdom endorsed by many authors, including the likes of Reverend Norman Vincent Peale and Dr. Ken Blanchard. Since 1983, Mr. Ketchian has spent his time empowering and enlightening hundreds of individuals through seminars and workshops, his newsletters, his teachings, and his sharing of this state of happiness. For Lionel, happiness is a conscious choice. Not only that, it is a skill that can be learned. Welcome to our show, Lionel.
Thanks, Eldon. It's a real joy to be with you today.
Well, I'm thrilled. Now, I want to start right off
by
having you tell your story, how you discovered happiness, and that decision you made over 25 years ago not to let anyone or anything take it from you. Will you share that with us?
Sure. Well, it wasn't quite that long. It was more like 18 years ago, but I'm 63 years old now, and since I've been 30, I've been looking for the meaning of life. And at least when I was 30, I was looking for the meaning of life, and I found many meanings since then, but real good meanings, too. You know, you're part of it. Others that are listening in or are not listening are part of it as well. There's tremendous meaning in our interconnection with others. But that being said, my voyage in life brought me to read everything I could get my hands on, anything and everything in the area of psychology, religion, even the esoteric stuff and metaphysics and quantum physics and, you know, you name it. And I was interested in learning about life from that standpoint. And, you know, of course, psychology and self-help. And so one day, after realizing that happiness was extremely important, I determined that in understanding that it was pretty much at the top of my list of what's the most important thing in the world. And I arrived at that list on my own, thinking about the 10 most important things in my life for a year and realizing that happiness made the top of the list, which was an interesting story in itself. For example, how could I think happiness is more important than my family, who I love? And I realized that when I put the two together, if I truly love my family, then the only way for me to give my best to them was to become a happy person. Otherwise, I was undermining my love for them, and I couldn't truly give them all that I really wanted to give them. And it really became what seemed to be a selfish act. I began to understand that being happy was a very unselfish act, because although I was putting myself first, I was actually conveying the energy and the benefit to my family and others in life. So that being said, even though I understood happiness was the most important thing, I wasn't completely there. And one day, it was December 24th, 1990, and it was about 5 o'clock in the evening. And that's kind of a great time of year, aside from being Christmas Eve. It's you're off from work for an extended, you know, time, and I felt happy, and I sort of said to myself, this really feels great. I'm happy, and this is a wonderful feeling, and I felt truly blessed, very grateful for knowing I was happy. But the distinction here, and what I want to sort of underline, is that I was aware that I was happy, very, very aware of my happiness. In fact, my awareness of my being happy was actually a very interesting thing for me, because it enabled me to understand that this is a real experience. This is reality right now, and I'm feeling feeling this way. And so then the next thing I thought about, of course, our mind is very quick to enter any frame of reality that we're in, of course. And it raised the question, well, okay, you feel happy now, but how long is this going to last? And I said to myself, well, I don't know. You know, maybe it won't last very long, but my whole thought process at that point was, okay, let's find out what has to come along, you know, in life, either within me or outside of me or people, problems, situations, whatever the case might be, that I would either give up this happiness for or I would lose it to in any situation. So I became very aware of everything that was sort of happening in my life from then on. And interestingly, I have never in over 18 years found anything, including all the terrible things that we all experience, death of loved ones, money problems, you know, problems, difficult people, you name it, and I've experienced it within those 18 years, and I never lost my happiness to them, for them, or, you know, with them. And what I learned in this experience was not only was it not crazy to lose my happiness to a difficult situation or a problem, but what I was enlightened to find out was that it enabled me to deal with the problem so much more effectively by being happy. Because once you're unhappy, you become hopeless, helpless, and you feel like a victim, and you certainly are not doing yourself very, very much good. In fact, you're adding a second problem to your problem, and that's you. And you're also eliminating any resourcefulness, any kind of brain power or calmness that could generate good choices that you could make to deal with the problem. So as it turns out, I found out that being happy, not because you have a problem, but in spite of having a problem, enables you to access your most highest states of mind, you know, body, state, and you actually can make a pretty good choice as to what you're going to do with the problem. Now, it doesn't mean you like the problem or, you know, that you are glad you have the problem. No, it's some family member dies and you're free to choose anything you want to think in those moments. And the interesting thing I have found is that in every case I've used this, not only have I benefited myself, empowered myself, but I've actually been, it's been a cause for a great benefit to everyone around me. My family has benefited from it, other people, because, you know, we live in a world where we interact with others. So even the day, the evening that I became happy, I felt so happy that interaction actually took place. I was at some gasoline for the car that evening. And I noticed the attendant, it was an older gentleman, and he's probably my age now. It was 18 years ago.
A younger gentleman.
And he was really a very nice human being, very kind, very, you know, nice with his words, very cheerful. And you know, here I am happy to begin with, right? So I said to myself, I'm going to give this guy a tip, and it's not going to be a buck, because he also washed the windows. But back then, they did a lot of work for pumping gas. Today, we don't have the same services. But I couldn't bring myself to do it, and I drove away, and I talked myself back into driving, back in again, parking the car, going inside, seeing the attendant, and giving him a larger-than-a-dollar denomination and thanking him for being such a special human being and that I felt he was making a very positive difference for others. And he had affected me in a very positive way, and I appreciated his manner and that I noticed it. I expressed my genuine feelings of admiration to him for the kind of person he was. And, you know, I thought he was really going to be happy about the money, and he was thankful for the money, but he was very appreciative for my words. And you know, we wished each other well. I left, and interestingly, I felt even better than I did before. So I think what happened in that exchange is that interacting with another human being and experiencing happiness with another human being, or at least allowing myself to let that experience out and benefit another human being.
That's a wonderful story. Now,
yeah, well, I think it did something.
I've got to stop you because we've got to go to break.
Okay.
But when we get back, you know, I'm going to ask you, what is happiness? Because, you know, we started defining that, and how you managed to stay so happy, you know?
Sure.
All
we'll
right.
Do it.
You're listening to Mind Matters, my guest today, Mr. Lionel Ketchian. He has been happy for 18 years. Nothing has interfered with that. I'm Eldon Taylor. We'll be right back after these commercial messages.
By special arrangement, Eldon has made available his best-selling Essential Pillars of Success at unheard-of savings. The principles in Essential Pillars have worked for thousands of people around the world and are guaranteed to work for you. Essential Pillars of Success consists of 9 programs on 8 CDs and comes with a book that explains how and why it's so easy to self-sabotage our best efforts and provides a roadmap for correcting those thought patterns and beliefs. It also includes a booklet teaching the learning strategies involved in choosing the programs or scripts that run through your mind. The entire mind conditioning set normally sells for $243.50, but is yours today for only $88. Plus, you will receive hundreds of dollars in bonus tools to further assist you. Call 1-800-964-3551 today for details.
Hay House, the publisher that has revolutionized the industry, brings you Choices and Illusions, the riveting New York Times bestseller by Eldon Taylor. How did I get where I am, and how do I get where I want to be? Questions we all ask ourselves. Choices and Illusions brings you the answers. Learn how choices are made for you without your knowledge, how you are programmed to sabotage your own goals, and why success so often eludes you. Learn to rewrite the most powerful influence in your life, your subconscious mind. John Edward, host of the Crossing Over Show, says, "Read this book. We are living at a time when people are searching for answers in their lives. This book can be, if applied, a roadmap to personal enlightenment and empowerment. I believe it can tune in the frequency you are currently operating on. More importantly, it helps you to see that you can manifest a change. Get your copy today. Buy it online at Amazon or Barnes & Noble, or get it at your local bookstore."
Now, back to Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor, bringing a bold new face to age-old questions. Join the discussion by calling toll-free 1-877-230-3062.
Welcome back. If you just joined us, shows Mind Matters. This is Contact Talk Radio. I'm Eldon Taylor, and my guest today is Lionel Ketchian. Lionel Ketchian has been happy for 18 years, nonstop. And just before we went to break, I indicated I was going to ask him a couple of questions, like what is his definition of happiness and how you manage to stay happy. But we had someone in the chat room preempt those questions with what I think is, you know, so here you are, Mr. Ketchian. Angela in the chat room says, "So is Mr. Ketchian truly happy, all the time now? And what happens, say, when a pet dies?"
Okay, to answer Angela's question, I can answer it this way. Am I happy all the time? Here's my answer. Yes, I've been happy for 18 years, but I've been happy now for 18 years. So my answer to you is I'm always happy now. It's just that it's been now for 18 years, but you have to realize that it's always this moment when happiness can exist for us. It's not in the past, it's not in the future. So I hope that answers that part of the question. And as far as a pet dying, a family member dying, not having enough money, having income cut off, losing a job, having, you know, been told you have diabetes or any number, even a doctor giving you medication and now you've got a problem and, you know, you say, wow, that was a close one. How do you deal with all these things? You know, it's really rather simple. Most of the time, almost 100% of the time, but not always 100% of the time, the problems we face in life have already happened. So it's not like you could do something about them. The milk spilt, and now you're there staring at the milk on the floor, or the dead pet, or the loss of a job, or whatever it might be. But truly, if you do want to be happy, because you got the rest of your life to go through with this, you know, either burden to carry or, you know, the rest of your life with your own maybe decision to be happy, it is all a matter of our thinking. What I have found is it's never what happens. It's always how I think about what happens. So if we think about something the wrong way or a non-empowering way, then what we do is we create an unhappy event for ourselves, and then we suffer. So I think the question is, yes, we could say bad things happen or things that we would prefer not to happen, but do we need to suffer because those things happen? And the suffering is really a result of our thinking, not the event. So I know that doesn't completely clarify the question yet, but I'm sure that by the end of the program, we'll have covered this further.
Okay, you know, and I'm going to go right at that right now. I'm going to break it into two parts, if it's all right.
Sure.
The first part is you're emphasizing now. And you know, you're happy now. Now, there is a whole lot of, shall we say, dialogue out there, the ancient to the new age, about living in now and the virtue of living in now. Is that, I mean, can you qualify that for me? I'm happy now. The anvil just fell on my foot. It's excruciatingly painful, but I am happy now. Can you just clarify that for me, Lionel?
Sure. Okay, the anvil fell on my foot, an excruciating pain. But what I do now is I experience the pain. I don't run from it. I don't deny it. I look at my foot. And I feel the pain, but when I look at my foot, I see that nothing's really badly hurt on it, that it was just pain. And when I accept the pain, I see it diminish. And, it may take a couple of days, but then I start saying to myself, well, you know, the pain is a little bit better than a minute ago. And I notice that it's getting better still. So I appreciate and I'm grateful for that, number one. I'm also grateful, and in every situation, things can certainly be worse than they are, and of course they could be better, but they are what they are. So, I'm really fortunate the anvil didn't fall and, completely break my foot, for example, because you said it fell and I had pain. And, yeah, okay, I've got the pain. And so I don't run from the pain, and by experience, I have found this with pain and I very rarely have pain, I want to tell you. Once in a while, I think the last time I smacked my left hand into the corner of a piece of furniture and it hurt, but I don't blame myself, because I learned this from Eldon's book, Choices and Illusions. I don't blame myself for doing it. I realize I'm a lot more intelligent now than a minute ago that I did that, and I'm not doing it again. But by experiencing the pain and allowing it to be there, and not only does it get better quick, but the healing that I've experienced from things like that seems very rapid. I think once we create the victim role, we have more pain, we create suffering, and the healing is much more difficult.
All right, now I'm going to be selfish. I love what you're saying, and I love right where you are, and we have questions in the chat room. But I'm gonna stop, and I'm going to come right at you here. If, as you say, and I accept, I accept everything you're saying, we have been so educated, so blindsided in our culture to think of ourselves as victims, to think of ourselves as having a right to get even, to think of ourselves as it's okay, you know, to cuss when that anvil hit our legs, and it's okay to, you know, to scream out and then to seek sympathy and all these other things that we just consider to be normal. I'm going to come right back to the first of the show in what you can call my rant. I like that, okay? You recently quoted Marcus Aurelius from his Meditations as saying this: press on steadily, keep to the straight road in your thinking and doing, and your days will ever flow on smoothly. The soul of man, like the souls of all rational creatures, has two things in common with the soul of God. It can never be thwarted from without, and its good consists in its righteousness of character and action, and in confining everything thereto. From that, Mr. Ketchian, should we conclude that you view happiness as a pillar of character?
Yes, but I also, yes, to answer your question very, very resoundfully, yes, but
hold a second. If,
sure.
And please, I want you to expand, but so what we're really saying is that when we take the role of the victim, when we do the blame and et cetera and so forth, we're actually abandoning a higher aspect of our own character. That's a weakness. That's a flaw in character. Is that what we're saying?
I would say yes.
Now, okay. Please expand.
Okay. I think there's one thing that needs to be said so that others can understand where you and I are with this dialogue. And it was just said in your, Marcus Aurelius quote. And that is that I now do not allow any external thing to affect me. Nothing outward has any effect on me, except for the meaning I allow it to have. And so if I allow something to be bad, really bad, then I run the risk of suffering. I have found that I don't need to join. I've created the Happiness Club, and we have, you know, loads of those all around the world. But I don't need to create a pity club, because I've been there and I'm never going back. There's no pity in the world that works to alleviate pain and things that are bad. So a lot of times when we are grieving for something, it really is a selfish act. I mean, when we're grieving for someone who's just died, it may be that we're grieving, we're thinking of our own death. You know, we're rather complicated human beings, and to really enjoy life, we need to simplify it, and to really look at life simply, we can eliminate so much if we take away all the drama. All the things that are bad, look what happened to me. If we take away those stories, we can live in a very beautiful world. Yes, bad things happen, but we don't have to be affected when we remove the drama from these things.
I love it, Lionel.
There you go. So there's my answer on that part of it.
I love it. I'm on the same page. I mean, it sounds like you combined a couple of philosophies that I'm passionate about. One is the Stoic. You're going to define everything that comes to you, and you will decide the impact it has upon you. And the other is that philosophy of St. Augustine. There's no such thing as something bad out there. It was all created by God, so it has to all be good.
Well, you could say, if you have that viewpoint, you create less suffering in your life, because, you know, you could really say what you just said, and you could say, you know something, how do I know that what just happened, that I consider bad, maybe it's bad for me, not in the essence of the world, in the arena of God and the entire world, that in intelligence of the universe, this is not for the ultimate good, even for me. How do I know that? I don't know.
No,
so that's another point you raised that I agree with, is we could also have the viewpoint, or I hate to use the word belief, because I really don't believe in things like normal people would. I'm almost, I'm not even an optimist. I'm a realist. I look at life and I take it for what it is, good or bad. And once you do that, you start to realize that we don't know as much as we think we know.
That's right.
And we don't always know what's good for us. But when we, and here's another thing, sometimes we have no choice over it. You know, when we have no choice about what happens to us, then we're foolish to give up what our choice is for the next moment. You know, in looking backwards into the past, in an arena where we have no choice, we're very foolish to become unhappy when we've given up the choice in the moment to create the next reality for ourselves. It is how we are not defined by the past. We're defined by how we choose in the moment and how we feel in the moment. That is what creates our reality. And we always think that we're defined by what's happened to us or what's happening. Only a prisoner could really say that, but then again, he was responsible for ending up in jail. So we don't have to live like prisoners, because the real ultimate benefit of happiness is total freedom. I mean, it is the most beautiful freedom. And what is freedom? But peace. Freedom is the peace that allows you to connect with another human being. That can only happen when you've overcome fear, which is another thing you talk about.
In a couple of minutes, one of the questions coming out of the chat room, and you're touching on it right now, is how does happiness transfer to others, and how do you ride that wave?
Can I quickly answer it? I know we'll be coming up to a break.
We've got about 3 minutes. Sure.
Yeah, okay. Well,
and if we need to carry over, just pause it.
Fair enough.
Okay.
Fair enough, Eldon. You know, you brought it up right in the very beginning, and you talked about virtue. Is happiness virtue? Very quickly, I'll give you my definition of happiness. Happiness is an inner state of well-being that enables you to profit from your highest thoughts, intelligence, wisdom, awareness, common sense, emotions, health, and spiritual values. Now, in the area of spiritual values is where virtues would really be a subheading. I feel that being happy, finding yourself in a state of being happy, creates one of the highest virtues for mankind, because in that state of being happy, you're really at peace. And peace can only be experienced within the individual. So as more people experience that kind of peace, there can be the virtue that could be passed on to others. And another thing that I want to add here is I consider the opposite of happiness to be fear. And fear is implicit in anger, in unhappiness, and fear is the disease of mankind. Peace is actually a reality that prevails, but we don't seem to swim to it because we're too busy dealing with all of the obstacles that we think we have to deal with, when all we really have to deal with is our own happiness, our own peace, our own freedom.
You know, we have to go to a break, but I'm totally in accord with you. And when we come back from the break, let's go back to this: happiness is the absence of fear. Let's discuss that a little more and flesh that out.
Sounds good. You're
listening to Mind Matters. I'm Eldon Taylor. My guest today is a remarkable mentor of mine, friend of mine, Lionel Ketchian, the creator, founder of the Happiness Club. The man has been happy for 18 years. Now, that's truly in charge of yourself. Be sure and join us. We come back from the commercial, and do join in by joining the chat room or giving us a call. We'll be right back.
Plan to attend the ICANN conference in San Diego from April 30th to May 3rd. everyone is talking about Hay House's I Can events. Don't be left out. Get your tickets early. This two-day event features leading visionaries from around the world. A short list includes your Mind Matters host, Eldon Taylor, plus Wayne Dyer, Louise Hay, Christiane Northrup, Sonia Choquette, Greg Braden, Joan Z. Borisenko, Colette Baron Reed, Bruce H. Lipton, Deborah King, John Holland, and Robert Holden, to name but a few. In all, you will have the opportunity to meet and hear 37 of today's best-selling authors. For more information and or to get your tickets now, visit hayhouse.com. Enjoy spiritual nourishment for your soul.
Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor is brought to you in part by InnerTalk, the patent and proven audio technology that makes change easy from the inside out. When you're ready for change, you want InnerTalk. You can succeed and you can begin today. Lose weight. Stop smoking. Enhance relationships. Be a better parent. Increase memory. End procrastination. Realize your goals and so much more. Hundreds of titles to choose from. Inner Talk, when believing in yourself matters. Check it out today at www.innertalk.com or phone for a free catalog at 1-800-964-3551. Again, for more information and that free catalog, call them at 1-800-964-3551.
You've heard of subliminal messages as used to sell you goods, ideas, even politicians. But did you know there is a patented and scientifically demonstrated effective CD series known as InnerTalk? InnerTalk can motivate and teach your subconscious in ways that can release stress, restore confidence, and build a new you. Millions of users worldwide have turned to InnerTalk as the antidote for all the negative messaging that most of us get every day. Think about it. Play your CD in the background while you do other things, and all the while your subconscious mind is being trained. Maybe you want to lose weight, or maybe you have difficulty in your relationships, or maybe you think of the maybe and ask yourself, what could I do if I believe that I could do anything and not fail? Go to their website and get their free catalog today at innertalk.com or call toll-free 1-800-964-3551. Remember, InnerTalk, when believing in yourself matters.
Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor is brought to you in part by the Mind Mint, the self-improvement superstore. MindMint.com offers hundreds of books, audio and video programs, subliminal and hypnosis technologies, software, biofeedback, and much more, all designed with your success in mind. Proven programs to help in almost all situations and walks of life, from the practical to the spiritual. Go to www.mindmint.com, your complete one-stop self-improvement superstore. Once again, that's www.mindmint.com.
And now, back to Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor, bringing a bold new face to age-old questions. Join the discussion by calling toll-free 1-877-230-3062.
Welcome back. If you just joined us, the show is Mind Matters. This is Contact Talk Radio. I'm Eldon Taylor. My guest today is a remarkable man that for 18 years has been happy without an interruption, despite every kind of thing that can fly at a person, financial, loss of a loved one. And he is sharing with us how he has done that and what it means to him and all of those that he has touched in his life. Lionel Ketchian, before we went to break, I wanted to come back and discuss with you or ask you again about this idea that happiness is the absence of fear. You know, my own research has shown, just solid research, that, you know, for every fear we have a nasty getting even response, an acronym that I use for an anger, and you did mention that circularity. Do you believe that if we could just simply subtract the fear from our lives, that we would know happiness, or is there more than that to being happy?
All right. That's an interesting question. Well, I'm going to back up. I'm going to back myself up and see if I can understand myself in the answer and say that, first of all, I feel happiness is a decision, and that people listening could make that decision right now while they're listening to us talk. Now, the reason they can make it now is because right now, if you're listening to Eldon and myself speaking, you're probably engaged in what we're saying. You're rational. And you can actually make a mental decision to be happy because you're worth it. And you might question whether you could be happy for the rest of your life in this moment, but you could still make that decision right now. Here's where it really benefits you. If you make that decision now, in the next moment, if some outside circumstance rattles your emotions, your brain, your whole being, and you get angry and upset, just remember you made that decision, go back to it, and choose happiness. Choose something. Choose to wait to count to 10. Choose to forgive yourself for getting mad. Whatever you choose. But choose, start learning to use the implement or the tool, the power tool, shall we say, of choice. Now, I, 18 years ago, used to get angry. I mean, if you provoked me, I would get angry. That was me. I grew up in New York City, and there wasn't a lot of parking spaces in New York. So I could get upset, and I could become angry. And what I found was in observing my anger, in accepting my anger every time I got angry, it was pretty much like, okay, you got me upset. You came over the line. I drew my arrow, put it in the bow, and shot you. But you know what? I can let go of all of that now. I can say, okay, I said what I said. Maybe I meant it. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I asked for forgiveness. But, you know, it's now again, and I plan on going on with my life. Let's go on. And so I would forgive myself. I would not dwell on these things. And I don't get angry anymore. Now, here's the magical part, and the part I don't even understand. Not only don't I get angry anymore, but I almost never, almost 100% never have the situations happen to me where I used to get angry. I mean, they just disappeared. All these people, all this, I mean, it's all gone. It's almost like when you don't have anger, you don't need it. So I want to, and I don't want to keep talking, but I want to add one more thing about the anger and the fear. Happiness is all about power, real power. And when I have a situation, I don't try to control it. I don't try to control people. I allow everything to be the way it is. But what I do control is my own reactions, my own thinking. I take total control of that, and I don't let go of my power. I don't use my power outside, but I maybe another way of understanding what I'm saying is that when somebody makes you unhappy, you're giving away your power. You're giving them power to make you upset. And if you don't give them your power, there's no way they can upset you. So if you have power, then you no longer need fear, and you no longer need to utilize anger. So it's only a powerless person who needs to express fear or has fear, because that's their way of trying to get their power back. But why give it away? Then you don't have to use anger to get it back. Just keep it. Never let it go. And that's where I come from, total power.
You know, Lionel, I agree with you completely, but I'm going to have to come back and ask you, to define, what is it precisely? I mean, I need here it is, one sentence definition of what is happiness here. What are you defining as happiness?
Happiness is an inner state of well-being.
Period. That's it.
Period. That's it.
All right. Well, we have a caller. Why don't we see if the caller has got a question before I come back? And bug you a little more on fleshing that out. All right?
Sure.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, are you there?
We're here. What is your name?
Andrea.
Andrea, welcome to Mind Matters. What can we do for you today?
I was wondering, at what age would you want to start teaching children to practice the continued states of happiness?
Andrea, that is a phenomenal question. I know 9 years old can do it, because I started giving a class at Sacred Heart University in Connecticut. In 1999, I taught a number of classes on happiness, and I did have a family with a 9-year-old girl, and she was way ahead of the class on this whole thing, and you know, she really understood happiness, and her family felt that they benefited tremendously, because she learned happiness and had that, you know, going for her for the rest of her life. I'll also say that 3 weeks ago, we just started a happiness club in a high school in Norwalk, Connecticut, endorsed by the high school, which is very difficult to do, by the way. It only took us a year with the work of a past assistant principal to get in there. But high schoolers, you can imagine teenagers with all the stress they're under, self-imposed and otherwise, how much they need to learn emotional competence, which is happiness, and not giving away their power, and and loving others in the right way. So the younger, the better. But, you know, the greatest thing we can ever give our children is for you as a parent, for each parent in the world, to be a happy person. If every parent were happy, think of what they're passing on to their children. I hope that explains the...
Marvelous. Do you have any other questions, Andrea?
Yes. Well, I think that's great to start them young, but I was wondering, how would you go about disciplining a child while also teaching them to be happy about it?
Good question. You know, I don't know how you're going to like this answer, but I'm going to refer to Dr. William Glasser, who wrote Choice Theory. And I think, he's a psychiatrist, and he's in his 80s, basically retired now. Let me ask you a question, Andrea. Do you like to be controlled?
No.
No. You know, I found I could ask anybody in the world that question, and everyone gives me the same answer. Nobody likes being controlled. If you could find more creative ways to teach a child not to do things, rather than controlling them, you could really educate them and not have them turn against you. And, you know,
sounds great.
Yeah, I know it sounds great, but we have to learn how to do it. So the book Choice Theory goes there. You know, it's not an answer I can give you in a minute, but not trying to control people could be an answer. And by the way, in marriage, control is really the issue that breaks up more marriages than anything. You know, control over money, control over... And you know what control is? It's about power. So again, if you're happy, you have that internal power. You know, instead of yelling at a kid, my year-and-a-half granddaughter, they found her in the dishwasher, you know. But then again, she's got two brothers that are 6 and 3, and I'm sure they taught her how to do that, but, you know, she didn't get hurt or anything. But rather than, again, controlling it, if you teach them that there's more fun places for them to play in, I think, you know, or divert their thinking to something else, I think there's ways we can do that to enable kids to learn and to be safe. And the first thing is certainly not to yell at them.
Okay, thank you.
Do you have any other questions, Andrea?
That's it.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
I love your answers. Those are marvelous. But I'm going to come back now. Do you have some image, something that you can bring into your head when there is a disturbance about to happen or that does happen in your life that reminds you of this happiness feeling?
I'm at a little bit of a loss over the question.
Well, see, I'm going to a little self-disclosure here, but if I find myself out of sorts over something, what I will often do is just stop for a minute and put an image in my mind, an experience that I have that is a very pleasurable or very peaceful or inspiring kind of feeling or experience in order to get back to that sense of balance. Do you use something like that? Or is this feeling that you have just something that never leaves you?
Yeah, it never leaves me. But I have to interject this thought. I'm always making the choice. In other words, it's not automatic. As I'm going through life, I'm always choosing. Let me put it to you another way. I'm always conscious of what I'm thinking. Always. Always.
Go ahead. Yeah.
I feel that when you become unhappy, you've just lost your consciousness at that moment, and you've forgotten that you're in charge of your thinking.
So what you're doing is you're cutting off any stream of consciousness, any self-talk that, for all intent and purposes, would rob you of that feeling.
Absolutely. I mean, every thought that comes through, you know, a lot of people think because they have a thought, it's their thought. But you know something? Think of a thought as a knock on the door. If somebody knocked on your door at home, you wouldn't just jump up out of your easy chair or bed and run to the front door and fling it open and say, "Who is it?" You would ask, "Who is it?" And then you might open the door, you might not. It's pretty much like email. You know, you open some of it, and some of it you throw away. With thoughts, I'm the one who decides which ones I open and which ones I let pass, and it's that easy.
I love it, and that is that is not easy. I totally disagree with it that easy, but and you know, my lifetime, the last quarter of a century, has been researching precisely that, and in every domain, from wellness to happiness, you've got the key there.
Well,
but I think
Eldon,
the important thing. Go ahead.
Can I add one more thing to this?
Sure.
And I know this will get you because I know you understand this. You know, there is a moment. It may be, one millionth of a second, one one thousandth of a second, one one hundredth of a second. We don't know what that time is. But there is a moment in time when a bad thing happens, and then it's your reaction to that, okay? If we cut that time where you do nothing, let's say you impose happiness automatically into that moment, and that split second gives you enough time to, rather than react, think about what choice you will put into place, there is never a situation that you couldn't keep your happiness. Never.
Okay.
But the reason you can't do it is because you're automatically swept into reaction, and you don't honor that split second. And that's where the happiness decision allows you the time to really keep your power and choose what's best in the moment.
I will remember that split-second strategy. You're a realist. I'm a pragmatist. The fact of the matter is all these things that you have passed out today, they work. And from a pure pragmatic standpoint, philosophy doesn't matter if you're interested in that which works. My guest today, Lionel Kitchen, practiced happiness for 18 years without a moment of unhappiness. Lionel, please tell everybody, because I could just talk to you for the next 2 hours, but we're out of time. Tell everybody how they can find out more about you, find out more about the Happiness Club, get your newsletter, and so forth.
Great. Okay, thanks, Eldon. Yeah, it's very easy. It's happinessclub.com. That's happinessclub.com. And when you go on the website, you can, if you're interested in starting a club, there's even a free 12-page download and giving you some ideas on starting your own club. We have them all around the world, 3 in Australia, 2 in Israel, Dubai. You know, we've got them everywhere and spreading fast. And so there's lots of room for you to start your club. And starting a club is very gratifying because you'll discover one of the greatest joys of all, and that's your own happiness. And sharing that just multiplies it, you know, so much more. There's also a book, a couple of books on our website that are free downloads. One is Gateway to Happiness by Rabbi Zelig Pliskin, which I consider a very worthwhile book to read.
Got to cut you off there, sir.
All right, there you go. There's the message.
It has been wonderful. Please join us again on Mind Matters. Do check out Lyle Ketchian, The Happiness Club. Thank you for being with us. I hope you join us again next week.
Thank you for listening to Mind Matters with Eldon Taylor, the one show where your mind is the ultimate frontier. Remember to join him again for more riveting guests and thought-provoking discussions every Tuesday at 4 o'clock Pacific Time right here on ContactTalkRadio.com.